Anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Now watch this, verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. He just turned them out. But verse 19, he said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. He's talking about people in their Christian life have wrecked their Christian life. They've made a wreck of their life. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11:25 that he was shipwrecked three different times. So he knows what a shipwreck is. He's using the illustration, using the, you might say, euphemism or illustration, using the word shipwreck. Listen to me, people. I've been pastoring a long time, and I've seen people make a shipwreck out of their Christian life. Just because you're sitting here in a good church and you're saved and you're close to the Lord and you're reading your Bible every day, don't mean you ain't going to wreck down the road. Amen. I was thinking about this just a while ago, and I'm not a NASCAR fan, never have been. Brother Eddie preached on that. That was a great message. But I ain't a NASCAR fan. Never have been. Probably never will be. But I know Dale Earnhardt Sr. was one of the greatest NASCAR drivers ever lived. But he come around curve number one, wasn't it? And smashed into the ball and got killed just like that. Experience ain't got nothing to do with it. Amen. Experience don't keep you from wrecking and crashing. Amen. You can wreck your Christian life. I was sitting there on the pew, and you can ask Debbie, we've had many, many conversations over this. And lots of times on these long trips we make, this is the subject of our conversations on these long 4, 5, 6 hour trips. We talk about sometimes the many, many people we've known over the years that's shipwrecked and wrecked their lives and wonder what happened and how it happened. Do you remember how this happened? And do you remember? You remember the other day I told you about this fella, this good friend of mine that's getting ready to go off. I ain't going to go into details right here, right now, but you know what's fixing to happen. And I talked to him again the other day, and every time I talk to him, I hang up the phone and lay my head down on my desk back there and cry a little bit. He was my best friend and still is, and I can't help it. I can't help it. He's wrecked his life. He's ran aground. His ship is destroyed. He's gone. It's over. His Christian life is done. He can get right with God, and he may be right with God. But his Christian life, his Christian walk, his testimony, it's all over. His family's gone. His wife's gone. His kids are gone. Their whole Christian life is completely gone. He's shipwrecked. It's gone. It's over. And you know what the worst part about it is? My good friends, tonight, it can happen to you. It can happen to me. Just because I'm pastoring a good church, the best church I've ever pastored, that don't mean it can't happen to me. Right. You say, oh, preacher, you're a good preacher. Yeah, I don't think it ever happened to you. Listen, it could happen to me. We used to go to church in North Carolina. My kids went to a Christian school up there. And Debbie, that's the first place she ever taught in a Christian school. This church was a big church. Independent, fundamental, King James, Bible-believing church. They had 1,000 for preaching on Sunday morning. You couldn't get in the place. And the preacher preached like his coattails on fire. And brother, I had confidence in this man. And they had like 300 kids in the youth choir. I mean, unbelievable ministry. I was pastoring up in South Carolina. This was after we moved down south, you know. And I was down here pastoring in that church I was just telling you about. And I remember one day she came in there and she said, honey, I got to talk to you about something. And I said, uh-oh, that don't sound good. And I said, let's go in here in the bedroom. And we sat down on the bed. She said, I got some bad news. I thought, are we having trouble here? She said, no, it's not about us. She said, I got some bad news. I said, well, lay it on me. What is it? She said, it's about brother so-and-so. I said, what happened? I thought he got killed or died. He travels all over the country and preaches all over the United States and flies all over to Arizona and North Carolina and all over the creation, the different parts of the world. And he's a good friend. I mean, we've been friends. I've preached in his church. The kids went to school up there. We knew him personally. And she said, they caught him today. They found him and caught him with another woman.
And I just, it blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. I was just floored. I said, no. I said, that can't be right. I said, there's been a mistake. Somebody set him up. He's been framed. That can't be true. She said, no. She said, it's true. And she started telling me how it happened and who was involved and how they caught him red-handed and the paperwork and everything. And I was just floored. I couldn't believe it. And I'll never forget, I laid down across the bed and Brother Jeff, I started crying. I thought, oh God, how could this be? I thought anybody in the world, I would have believed it. Anybody. I would have believed anybody. It could have happened to this one. It would have happened to that one. I would have believed it to this fella or that fella. I would have thought he'd have done it, but not this guy. I've looked up to him all these years. I've learned from him. My kids have stopped. He's the greatest thing since light bread. Oh, brother, I could not believe it, but I want to tell you what happened. Brother, somewhere along the line, brother, his ship got off course and he had a shipwreck and it ruined his life and it ruined his ministry.
Amen.
He ain't been the same since. He picked the pieces up and he's still preaching, but it ain't the same. Shipwreck can be caused by a steering problem. You better keep your ship on course. You better keep it on course, brother and sister. You better watch where you're steering. You better not be texting and driving. I know everybody here has tried that before. You start messing with your radio and you look up and you're all over the road. You start doing this at the steering wheel. Don't sit there and act like you ain't done it because I've done it. Everybody in here has tried it. Yeah. You say, hey, what you doing? On my way home. Oh, really? How are you on your way home and you're texting me? And then they don't answer. That's right. Yeah, that's the same way. We got a steering problem. You better make sure, brother, you got your eyes on the prize, got your eyes on Jesus, and keep it in the road, and keep it straight, and keep it right if you want to keep your ship on course.
Amen.
Shipwreck can be caused by storms. Storms are cause of most shipwrecks. Ancient times, weather forecasting was primitive. They had no way to know storms was coming up. Sometimes storms would just come up just like that. Kapow! Kapow, that's a Greek word, girls. It means right away, instant.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, the storms come up out of nowhere. And that's the way it is in the Christian life. Sometimes you don't see it coming. And sometimes you don't know what's going to happen. And sometimes a storm can knock you off course. Wreck your ship.
Amen.
You better be grounded. I said it the other night, you better get you some Scripture. You better be reading this Bible.
Amen.
Hey, your friendship with other Christians ain't going to do it. Listening to Southern Gospel Radio ain't going to keep you anchored when a storm comes. I'm telling you, brother, listen, memorizing good Christian songs will not keep you anchored when the storm comes. Listen, Jesus Christ, He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Thy word is like a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, and a lamp unto my feet. That's the high beam and the low beam, brother. It'll keep you straight on your path.
Amen.
In the storm. A shipwreck can be caused by sabotage. Sometime along the way, there's spiritual warfare in this. Sometimes the devil will sabotage your ship. Sometimes he'll throw a monkey wrench in things. Sometimes things will be going along perfect. And something will come out of nowhere. Things you least expect. Job wasn't expecting none of that stuff to happen to him. I'll talk something about him in just a minute. But you know, things happen in a Christian life. Almost, young people, you need to understand what I'm fixing to tell you. Every adult in here is going to say amen to this. Life almost never happens the way you plan it. Almost never. I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this, and we'll do this, and we'll do that, and then I'm going to do this, and we'll do that. It never happens that way. Never. So just be ready. Be prepared. And keep your ship straight and anchored, and keep your compass right, and keep all your instruments in order.
Amen.
And just be ready for the unexpected. Shipwreck can be caused by sabotage, spiritual warfare. Shipwreck can be caused by a supply problem. Paul said that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And God will supply all your needs. But you have to keep your supplies stocked up by reading your Bible.
worship at your local church and witnessing to others and doing what God tells you to do. Do you know if you'll read that in its context? In other words, if you'll do your part, He'll do His part. In other words, if you'll read your Bible like you're supposed to, God will supply your needs. Right? God will bless your finances if you'll work. You can't claim that verse and lay around the house and watch Jerry Springer all day and expect God to pay your bills. That don't work. But if you work every hour that you possibly can, pay your tithe, you can claim that verse and say, God will supply my needs, and God will supply your needs.
Amen.
Shipwreck can be caused by a supply problem. Sometimes shipwreck happens. Don't let your ship get wrecked out there on the sea of life. You got a lot going for you if you're saved and serving God. You're in a good church, got a good family. I sit back here and watch these kids up here in the choir singing, watch these families. And I know a lot of us think it couldn't happen to us. That's the danger. Some of these people I'm talking about, my wife and kids can tell you, y'all have heard me preach it 1,000 times. The only reason I keep preaching it is because I know it can happen right here. A lot of these same people, me and Debbie's named them. I could give you a list. It'd just roll out here like a scroll back to Brother Jeff of people that I've pastored. I'm talking about good. I'm not talking about fly by night people. People came hit and miss, hit and miss. I'm talking about people that came to church every time the doors was open.
Right.
This brother I'm telling you about, he was a deacon, Sunday school teacher, Sunday school director, bus driver, treasurer, sung in the choir, his wife sung in the choir, his kids sung in the choir. They're there for work days. They helped us take kids to Florida, North Carolina, all over creation. His wife, one time we was in Florida at a meeting. I went out in the hallway checking on the kids. She was one of the chaperones. She was sitting out there sleeping in the hallway. I said, what are you doing out here? She said, I ain't about to let these teenage kids hook up with each other. I'm sleeping in the hall. She said, I know what kind of reprobates they are. That's just kind of woman she was. That's the kind of people that was. I mean, there's there every time. It didn't matter. You could say, hey, we're going to have a chicken fight tomorrow. They'd bring a rooster and show up. I ain't kidding, people. They were faithful. They was ever pastor's dream. That's the kind of family you want to never cause no trouble. Pay tithes, give extra, do whatever you want them to do. But they had a crash. Now they're gone. They sunk. They crashed and burned. They're just like some of y'all. Some of the best people I ever met. And I can sit here on the front row, and I'm not putting any doubt in none of y'all, but the Bible said, in my flesh, Paul said, dwelleth no good thing. There ain't nothing good about none of y'all's flesh.
Amen.
And I look in the mirror and shave myself every day, and ain't nothing good in mine either.
Amen.
I stand right here before you preaching tonight. My ship can crash just like yours.
Amen.
Did you know I could be a statistic just like you could? You know the next rumor in this town could be, That Wilcox fella done that Grace Baptist, did you hear what happened to him? And that could be the next big tale going around this county. Yeah, it could happen to me, brother. Hey, brother, I'm just human. I'm just flesh and blood just like everybody else.
Amen.
That's right. Shipwreck. Let me give you a few things and we'll go to the house. Things that can cause you to shipwreck. Family sometimes can cause you to shipwreck. Are you going to let your family cause you to shipwreck? And I was thinking about Job. I mentioned him. I thought about Job. You know, Job, when he had all his trouble, he lost everything he had. His kids were killed. He lost all his finances and he lost all his property. I ain't going to go into the whole story. He lost all his sheep, everything, all the animals, the livestock. Only person he had left was his wife. And she come marching in on him and said, why don't you just go ahead and quit?
Amen.
Only person he had left was his wife. That's probably where the term old lady came from. The old woman. The old woman showed up. Oh, brother, the Bible said a wife, if a man finds a good woman, she's a crown unto her husband. Instead of her coming up and saying, John, baby, oh, honey, oh, we're going to make it. We're going to pull through. I love you. You're a good man. Somehow God's going to bless us again. But she didn't. She said, won't you cuss God and die? I want you to notice something about the story of Job. The Bible said Job offered sacrifices up for his kid because he said maybe, as they're meeting together, maybe it's possible one of them has sinned. Possibly they've sinned. And Job went and offered sacrifices for his family. But did you notice? You never read anywhere one single word about Job's wife nowhere in that story until Job's wife came up and tried to get him to kill himself.
You never read anywhere where the Bible said that Job offered sacrifices and his wife came with him and she bowed down at the temple and prayed, or she bowed down at the altar beside her husband as he offered up a sacrifice. You never read that. You never read where Job went to church and Job's wife, Mrs. Job, was back there praying with him. I want to tell you something, brother. There's been a many of people that shipwrecked because of family. Brother, family can discourage you and get you out of church. I've seen a many a good man that's got out of church because of a bad wife. I've seen many good women that's got discouraged and quit because they just couldn't hang on because they was married to a bad man. That's right. Don't let family. I'm telling you, brother. I'm telling you, down through the years, if I'd listened to my family, I wouldn't even be preaching right now. My brothers, I requested prayer for them this morning. My brothers has made fun of me from day one. From day one, they've mocked me and made fun of me. Laughed at me in front of me. And made snide remarks and joked about me. But I'll tell you something. A couple years ago, about 8 years ago, when I got up there and stood at my daddy's funeral, brother, I want to tell you what. When I ride back on my new clothes, Brother Sam, and I started preaching and talking about my daddy, but they sat right there with their head down. It wasn't funny then, son. Hey, man, I want to tell you something, brother. Hey, the shoe was on the other foot then, bless God Almighty. I want to tell you, brother, I made up my mind a long time ago. I wasn't going to let some beer-swilling brothers talk me out of what God done for me. I know what God had done for me, that He'd saved me and called me to preach, and I wasn't going to let somebody tell me that I couldn't do it. Don't let your family cause you to shipwreck. You say, preacher, you just don't know how hard it is. I know it's hard. But other people's done it. Amen. What about these athletes that's come up from nothing and went all the way to the top? Why, if an athlete can come from the slums all the way to nothing and fight adversity all the way to the top, surely you can serve God with adversity and let people talk about you. I've had people laugh at me, make fun of me, and it was a big joke to them, and I ain't bragging on myself, and I know I'm nothing, but I'm saying, brother, I'm not going to let somebody in my family tell me I'm not going to serve God. I've been to family dinners all my life, and been to oddball, and to company picnics, and company get-togethers, and company dinners, and felt like the odd man out. But I ain't going to let family wreck my ship. Number two, are you going to let finances cause you to shipwreck? The devil accused Job, and he told God, he said, yeah, the only reason he loves you is because you blessed him so much. Look at everything he's got. No wonder he loves you. He's accuser of the brethren. No wonder he's bragging on you. No wonder he's shouting, look at everything you give him. Right? Ain't that what the devil said? Let me ask you something tonight. Would you still come to church and praise God if you lost your home? Amen. I know we all get up here and brag about what God's done for us, and we ought to. We ought to praise Him for giving us a roof over our head, the Bible tells us to, and nice cars to drive and nice clothes. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever read about in Hebrews chapter when it gets to the end of those heroes of faith and it said others who's dwelt in caves and wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, who's had their children took from them and they've been tortured. What if you live like that? Would you still praise Him? Would you still shout? Would you still get up in the choir if you're broke? If you didn't have a dime? If the bank come and got your car this week, would you still come to church and get up in the choir and say glory? He sure is good.
Amen.
I mean, it's easy to shout when God's good to you and He's dumping it out by the bucketful. I'm telling you, brother, God's still good even if you ain't got nothing.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Boy, if you lost your job and all your money, well, if you lost your credit card and your wife left you and you couldn't pay your bills, would you shout then? See, you shout because you don't shout because of what you got in your wallet. Are you understanding? Is anybody grasping this? Is anybody getting any of this? We don't shout because of what we got. We shout because of who He is. We shout because who He is, not because what He gave us. We shout because of who Jesus is. He's the darling Lamb of God that paid our sin debt.
Amen.
Not because of what He gives us.
Amen.
Lord to God, I feel like preaching.
Amen.
Amen. Do you love Him because He gives you a big house and a good job? Are we going to quit shouting because we got to sign up? I mean, never know. Most of us got a good job. I'm in churches taking good care of me. What if the crowd falls off? Church has to cut my salary. Am I going to quit preaching like this? I'm going to still let it rip. I preach for less than this. I preach for a lot less. By God's grace, I'll keep doing it. I'm not saying that I wouldn't. Y'all see what I'm saying? You can't just shout because everything's right. We're pampered babies and spoiled rotten to the core. Hey, I'm just saying, there's nothing wrong with saying thank God for this beautiful church. But what if it burnt to the ground and our insurance wouldn't pay? Would we still shout? We'd rent us a little building somewhere and still shout glory and still preach and still keep on going. Because who He is. Finances. We can't let finances wreck our ship. Anybody that has a shipwreck over finances ain't got much. Amen? It's all His. Number three, flesh. And I'm not talking about the battles of the flesh. I'm talking about your body. Your flesh can cause a shipwreck. Physical sickness. We're older than we used to be. I remember when we was young, we'd have a testimony service up there in the mountains, up there in North Carolina. And them old people get up and start testifying every time. Preacher, I want y'all to pray for me. I've got this terrible backache. I'm like, dear God, sister, every time we have church, we talk about your backache.
Amen.
Then somebody else would get up and they'd say, preacher, I want you to pray for me. I'm having this terrible pain in my neck. I'm like, dear Lord, sis, sit down, shut up. We're tired of hearing about that. And if you may say to somebody else, get up and say, now, don't y'all pray for me. I got this gout in my foot. Lord, it's about to kill me. I'm like, dear God, we're here to praise God. Hush up with that junk. Listen to me. I'm 56 now. Now when people get up and start saying, I'll punch David and say, hey, I got that. He's got what I got. I'm like, go ahead, brother, preach right there. Oh, grandma gets up and she says, y'all pray for my back. It's terrible. I said, which disc you got out, Seth? Which one? The doctor gave me some medicine. Here, if you got the same kind I got, we'll swap. I'm serious. When I was young, my mom and daddy, mom and daddy's medicine looked like a drugstore. I'm like, dear God, how do y'all keep from overdosing? Other day, Debbie came in. She said, come here, look at our on top of our microwave. And it's cut the whole top of it. Nothing but medicine bottles. Is that the way y'all are, Brother DeWitt? If you're over 40, it's going to get like that.
Amen.
Go ahead and laugh. It's going to get that way. You know what that is? This old body's getting decrepit. And it's what ain't fell out and fell off is going to fall down and break up and fall apart.
Amen.
That's right. You're going to get something.
Yeah.
That's right, brother. Hey, you're getting old. And you and listen. And remember when you used to go to bed at night about 1 o'clock in the morning and you could sleep till the next day about 5 and never move. Now you go to bed at night at 9 o'clock and you get up at 11 and have to go to the bathroom. Go back to bed and get up at 12 and have to go to the bathroom. Get up at 1:30, get up and go to the bathroom. You know what that is? Old age. I heard a man told me the other night, he said, I guess I need to go to the doctor. Talking about this prostate cancer and stuff. He said, I need to go to the bathroom. He said, I have to go to the bathroom when I go to bed at night. I said, how many times do you go? He said, 6 times. I said, 6 times? You go 6 times every night? He said, yeah. I said, you better go to the doctor, brother. If I go once a night, I'm shouting. I'm like, woo! Glory to God!
Amen.
Y'all laughing. That's true stuff, brother. You start getting on up in years, brother. You don't sleep all night no more. You wake up 5 in the morning like this. Pow! Your eyeballs are wide open. You think I'm making that up? You don't sleep in no more. Oh, I'm off today. It's raining outside. I'm just going to sleep in. Them days are gone.
Amen.
You wake up. Don't you do it. You wake up. Bam! Oh, I ain't been to bed in 3 hours. Get over it, Jack.
Amen.
You done slept when you was a teenager. You slept 40 years worth when you was 17, 18, 19.
Amen.
It's over. You didn't know who you're sleeping over with. You're done. You're sleeping. You have sickness. You have pain. You have medicine all over the house. You forget what you even took. I told Debbie, I said, I don't know if I took my medicine this morning or not. What should I do? She said, well, I wouldn't take it because if you take it, you might take too much. If you don't take it, you're just behind one dose. I'm afraid if I take it, I'll start doing this.
Amen.
The flesh, think about it. The flesh, this old body, would you still serve him if he found out you're a diabetic and could never eat a piece of Miss Shirley's pecan pie again? Or that strawberry stuff? Think about a world without Reese cups. That's awful. I hope we get to heaven, behind my mansion is a big swimming pool. There's nothing in it but Reese cups. I can go out there and get on the diving board and just dive in. Just swim. Yeah. That's right. Would you still serve him? Would you still serve him if you had heart trouble? Hey, when you get older, you can't eat just anything anymore. I mean, I ain't got no dreadful disease, but I'm 56 years old. And once it reaches a certain time at night, I don't eat. I know what it does to me. You don't eat a cheeseburger, preacher? What time is it? Nope. I know what it does to me. I'll be up all night and I'll be miserable tomorrow and I'll make her miserable. She said, no, don't eat that. She's become my mama now. Get away from that. Okay. Okay. You can have a cheese cracker, but that's all. Cheese cracker, not a cheeseburger. When you're young, when you're 18, you can eat everything all night long. And just burp, and that's all. Once you hit 50, you can look at it and get sick. Am I telling the truth? That's a fact. That is a fact. Y'all laugh now, but it'll happen. My daddy used to say that. And they used to say, son, eat all you want to. Just do anything to your body. You're going to pay. Daddy, you hear me? He's up there laughing right now. What if you had to have open heart surgery? Would you still sing in the choir if the doctor said you're going blind? Nothing we can do for you? Would you still get up here and sing and raise your hand? This flesh can make you go. This whole flesh breaking down, falling apart. Miss Alma came to church till she died. I know y'all have heard me say it, and having a pastor this long, you get tired of hearing me tell the same old thing, but Mama went to dialysis every other day till she died. She shriveled up. She was nothing left. And Daddy would tell her, he said, Mama, let me take you home. She said, I want to go hear my favorite preacher, which she's talking about me. And they'd roll her in the wheelchair. She'd leave dialysis and come straight to church. And her little head was like, Millie could hold her head up better than Mama could. And they'd have to pop her little head up. Couldn't hold her eyes up hardly. And she just sat right there and I'd preach and she'd just smile and raise her little feeble hand. And I'd hug her and kiss her. And I knew she didn't need to be there. Her body was gone. And she'd tell me she loved me, big old tears running down her face. She said, Ronnie, I'm so glad you got saved, made a good preacher. I said, I am saved. I don't think I'm a good preacher. I thought, man, if she can come to church in that shape, these people is healthy. But you know what? That's because she loved the Lord. And she wanted to be there.
Amen.
This old flesh is falling apart and it's going. But it didn't stop her. Amen. It can cause you to shipwreck. What if you got HIV through a blood transfusion? Would you still go to church? Would you still preach? Would you still shout? Would you still go? I'm fixing the clothes. Sometimes failure causes you to shipwreck. Don't get bitter. Don't let the devil hang the dirty laundry of your past. Get the dirty laundry of your past hanging on the clothesline of your future. Everybody's got a dirty past. The devil can drag up your dirty laundry. Everybody's got it. Say, preacher, you don't know about my past. You don't know about mine. You may have a dirty present. Maybe I do too. Everybody's got dirty skeletons in the closet. Let's don't dig too far in the past. We might be scared what we might dig up. Like that one guy did a genealogy of his past and it scared him. He wished he'd never looked it up. Found out his family tree was just a stump. Up in West Virginia. But Jeff wasn't no branches. He found out he's his own grandpa. That's right. Yeah. Everybody has failed at one point or another in their life. When you feel like a failure, you know what that'll do? Sometimes it'll make you just feel like crashing. It'll make you run aground and just crash your own boat. Preacher, I'm a failure. I feel like a failure. I got news for you. Everybody feels that way at one point or another.
Last thing I'll say, Ronnie, come on up here. Last thing I'll say is sometimes a funeral will cause you to shipwreck. You'd be surprised if people get mean and bitter because somebody died. Can I tell you something, church? We've been blessed around here for the past 5 years. We ain't had but one or two funerals. One, really, of our own, Miss Alma. But if time lasts and Jesus don't come, we're going to have much more. That's just a part of life. We can't get bitter. We can't crash our vessel because God seen fit to take one of our own. I've buried people of all ages. I'm going to tell you something. I've buried little babies, old men. I think the oldest one I've ever buried is 92 years old. Buried people, men in their 80s, all ages. I was just a young preacher. I'd been preaching long and had to bury a baby. I didn't know how to do that. I had no idea how to do that. It got thrust on me. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to comfort them. Young couple. That's Travis and Lauren's age. Just a little bitty. I didn't know what to say. And then it wasn't 3 months, I had to do another one. I had to do two baby funerals just back to back. And then a few months later, I had to do an old man in his 90s. All this as soon as I started preaching. Here I am just wet behind the ears, just started preaching. I'm having to do funerals. But here's my point. You can't crash your vessel because the normal cycle of life happens. You say, preacher, that ain't supposed to happen. It ain't supposed to happen. You ain't supposed to bury your kids. You ain't supposed to bury your spouse. I know people buried their wives. I got a preacher friend in North Carolina, pastors a pretty good-sized church. He told me and Debbie this story one day. He said he's coming down the road one night, come up on a bad wreck, and the police cars, highway patrol, ambulance, and fire trucks, and is waving them through. And he got up close. He said, sir, he said, anybody hurt bad? And said the first responder said, yes, it is. A lady got killed. Said, come on through. And as he got closer, he recognized it was his own wife's car. And that was his wife. He was putting on the stretcher. And he jumped out of the car and ran over there. And she's already pronounced dead. The coroner was there. His own wife came upon his own wife. He had like three or four little kids. And he's pastoring a church, run a couple hundred people, 250 people. So what in the world am I going to do? Just out of nowhere. This ain't supposed to happen. I'm living right, preaching, pastoring a church. My wife's teaching in a Christian school. We're running a Christian school and a church. This ain't supposed to happen. But you know what? It happened. But you know what he did? He just kept that vessel on course, kept it steering straight. God sent him another woman, another wife, and he just kept going. Faith is like film. It's developed in the dark. Things don't always make sense. People, listen. If you get anything out of this message, the older I get and the longer I serve God, this keeps sinking into me. A lot of the Christian life, walking with the Lord, a lot of times you're in the dark. And I know what I'm going to say. You're going to say, preacher, that don't even sound right. A lot of it, you're walking by faith, and it don't make sense. You say, preacher, I don't get nothing out of that. What did the Bible say in the book of Proverbs? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. A lot of it don't make any sense. But you just got to trust Him. Think about Job when all that happened to him. There wasn't even a Bible back then. Job couldn't open a Bible like you and read it. Or the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He didn't have that to read. He didn't have the book of John chapter 14, in my father's house are many mansions. He didn't have none of that. Job just offered up sacrifices. Job had three friends that showed up. And for 30-some chapters there, they just condemned him. And said, you must have sinned and brought all this on yourself. And then his wife told him, because of God, no, that's all he had. For 30-some chapters, God never even showed up. I don't know what length of time that was. God didn't show up and didn't say anything to Job. None of it made any sense. Job just said, well, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. A lot of times it don't make sense. But we just have to trust him. That is what makes it faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. But you trust in him. Let's try to keep our vessel on course. Let's don't have a shipwreck. As I said in the beginning, it can happen to anybody. But it's up to you. I'm telling you, young people, I know how it is. I used to preach the same way to a lot of these other young people. And I could see the look in their face. They're just sitting there listening to him, but they're just waiting. I hear what you're saying, preacher, but as soon as I get my chance, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to have my fun. I don't care what you say, because I hadn't had a chance to live it up and to have my fun. Y'all had y'all's fun. I'm going to go have mine. Well, if you do that, you'll have your fun. But you ain't going to like the price tag. How many knows that's the truth? The price tag you've got to pay for that is so bad. It is so bad, I can't put it into words. I cannot put it into words how bad it is. It's so horrific. It's worse than any nightmare. It's worse than any horror film that Hollywood has ever put out. When you get out there and see it and start playing around, messing around, and you start having extramarital or start having sex out of marriage and drugs and rock concerts and drugs and alcohol and all that stuff, when you start paying that price, you pay for it for a long time. Amen. You start having sex before marriage, you can get forgiveness, but that scars on you, ain't it? You regret it from now on. You can't get it back. You can't get your virginity back. Are y'all with me? Preacher, you ought not preach it. I'm going to, bless God. I'm the pastor here. I'm going to preach it. Somebody's got to. Somebody's got to. And I ain't going to apologize for it either. Somebody's got to tell people and tell our kids. These kids need to hear it. There's a price to be paid for sin. You're going to wreck your vessel. And when you wreck it, you can't put it back together. You can come back and get forgiveness and get back in church. That prodigal son lost some stuff out there in that world that he never got back. There's some things you never... That guy I've been telling you about, if he got out of that mess and came back to church, and came back, moved down here and came to this church, he'd still never be the same. Never. Because that ship is crashed and gone. Everybody with me so far? You can't just automatically, you can't just magically put it back. When you crash something, it's crashed. My daddy used to say something. Now listen to this. I don't know where daddy got this from. He was had wisdom beyond his years. He didn't get this from a Bible college. He said, son, let me tell you something. You cannot unscramble eggs. He said, every decision you make, when you get ready to do something, you remember this. You can't unscramble eggs. Once you scramble them up, they're unscrambled. He said, you crawl in bed with a woman. He said, you become one flesh with her to the day you die. That's what God said. You become one flesh.
Amen.
He said, preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. I don't care if you like it or not. That's what God said. I didn't write it. Now, you can't undo something that the Bible said is done. Now, you can get forgiveness. I'm not saying you can't get forgiveness. But you can't get that scar off of you. I got a scar right here on my stomach I got when I was 5 years old. I got electrocuted 50 years ago. I still look down at there and it reminds me of that scar, that electrocution. You always got that scar. That regret. You'll regret it. And the devil will always... How many in here tonight, you've done things that the devil's constantly poking at you about that you've done. You got forgiveness for it. The devil's always poking at you about. Raise your hand. Look at that, kids. Look at that. The church is full of people. Every one of us. The devil's always gouging you about. Amen. Don't you wish you hadn't have done that? Don't you wish you hadn't took them drugs? Don't you wish you hadn't committed sex before marriage? Don't you wish you hadn't got out there and got the drinking? Don't you wish? See, you pay for it. We're forgiven. We're in church. But emotionally and mentally, you carry that scar from now on to the grave.
Amen.
See, we got the notion that 1 John 1:9, you know, we can ask forgiveness and it's all... I'll just go out there and play around sin and I'll just ask forgiveness and it's all done. It ain't that easy. You better be careful, kids. I don't know why I'm saying all this. You young people, but you better be careful how you treat your life. You ain't got but one and you can't, don't get another do-over. You don't get a do-over, kids. Y'all are young now. You better make up your mind how you're going to live it. I preached this to some of them kids in this other church I'm telling you about, and some of them had a shipwreck. Right now, they'd give anything if they're sitting right here in this church where you're at. Right now, they'd counsel y'all, and they'd say, kids, I'd give anything if I was in this choir, in this church, listening to Brother Ronnie right now, sitting under Miss Debbie, and Ronnie and Travis and Candace, and some of you girls and some of you boys. I'd give anything if that's where you're at. But I've ruined it now. Y'all got a good opportunity. Don't wreck. Let's stand.